Somebody say, have mercy. Many years ago, the executives over at Time Life Publishing in New York realized that the company's profit margins had gone dangerously low. They were almost in the negative in their corporate financial report, so they immediately began looking for ways to cut those costs. So they brought in efficiency experts who found that they could save significant money in their renewal department. See, these were back in the days where everybody sent stuff in the mail, and they had 350 people working full-time sending heartbreaking pleas to readers whose subscriptions were about to expire. So they would send them these letters trying to give them a guilt trip and guilt them into renewing their subscriptions to Time and to Life. And these letters, okay, anyway, enormous quantities of them were being prepared by hand, and it was calculated that if a machine could be found to replace that labor, it would save the company millions of dollars in overhead. So eventually, IBM came to the rescue, and they had an enormous computer that they designed specifically for Time Life to do the job. It was delivered to their headquarters with great celebration and fanfare. And with the new system installed, the name of each subscriber was put on a little plate and run through this big machine. And when they did all their mail, when they mailed out their magazines, this machine would scan every name. And when somebody was within 6 weeks of their subscription expiring, that machine would drop their name down and it would automatically attach that name to a letter, send it down to the basement, to the post office, and mail it to them in the mail without a single human being involved in the process. Okay? An amazing machine. And the system worked flawlessly for a while. Until that fateful, hot, humid, sticky day in New York City where one of the nameplates got stuck in the machine. And a few days later, a lone sheep herder in Montana received 12,634 tear-jerking letters asking him to please renew his subscription to Life magazine. The poor sheep herder, who had not received a letter in years, took out his pocket knife and slit open the mailbag and began reading the letters one by one. 3 weeks later, red-eyed, weary, and up to his waist in 12,634 pieces of mail, he made out a check for $6, and he filled out a subscription coupon, and he sent it to the president of Time Life personally with the following note: I give up. I give up. It took 12,634 pieces of mail to wear him down. We all have our limits, don't we? But God's mercy has no limits. The wonderful thing about God is that you don't have to ask Him 12,634 times for mercy. You don't have to ask Him 1,000 times for mercy. You don't have to ask Him 100 times for mercy. The wonderful thing about God is that God offers His mercy freely to us all. See, we have not been saved by our own merits. We have been saved by the great mercy of God. Are you thankful for God's mercy? Come on, I dare you just to lift up your hands and thank Him for His mercy on your life today. The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders. Mercy endures how long?
Forever.
Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. When Amber and I were first married, it was a struggle for me if we were in public and she would say, here, hold my purse for a minute. Come on, guys, can y'all relate to that? Anybody ever been there? She would say, hold my purse, I'll be right back. And I would hold it here like it contained the plague. Okay? I would hold it out like it contained incriminating evidence, okay? I wanted to keep it far away. I didn't want any fingerprints on it. And if anybody even looked in my general direction, I would announce loudly, I'm holding this for my wife. Okay? But fast forward 15 years later, it's not really a big deal anymore. She'll ask me to hold her purse and I'll sit here and I'll have it on my arm. And I'll be looking at my watch. I won't even notice that I'm walking around with this purse on me. And the bad thing about guys is y'all know we tend to get lost. So we were in the store recently, shopping, going out and about. I was holding her purse, and I was lagging behind, so I got lost. I don't know where she was. So I was sitting there shopping, looking at my watch, walking around like this, and some guy came up to me and said, "Hey, you go, girl." And I said, "No, wait a minute. This is for my wife." Gotta be kidding me. The spirit of slap entered my arm. Quick, do something manly. Chop some wood. I don't know. Get lost. Do something. You see what happened? Is that over time, I became desensitized to holding my wife's purse. In the early days of marriage, it was a big deal and it freaked me out, okay? But now, it's just common. It's ordinary. I really don't even think about it. And the problem is that over time, we as Christians can become desensitized to God's mercy. Oh, when you first get saved, you're like, "Oh, God, I thank you for your mercy. I didn't deserve your mercy. I'm not worthy of this. This is not something that I could have ever earned. Lord, I still don't fully understand why you would trust me with this, but thank you for your mercy." Oh, but then you fast forward a few years, and it ain't no thing. I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray that we would never become desensitized to God's mercy. I pray that we would never view his mercy as a common thing, because the mercy of God is an uncommon mercy. May we never forget, never forget, never forget where God brought us from. Some of you, you need to remember today the hole that God had to dig you out of. If it wasn't for his mercy, you would be dead right now. If it wasn't for his mercy, you would have overdosed. If it wasn't for his mercy, you would have never beat that diagnosis. If it wasn't for his mercy, you never would have survived the accident. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would all be in hell, in jail, or out on bail right now. Come on, somebody give God praise for his mercy this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your great mercy. And God's mercy is not a one-time thing. Do you know the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 that his mercy is made new every morning? Hallelujah. When I woke up this morning, God renewed his mercy over my life, and he renewed his mercy over your life, and we ought to be happy about that this morning. I don't know about you, but I needed a fresh dose of mercy today. And when you think about the holiness of God, and you begin to comprehend the greatness of his mercy. See, God is holy and God is righteous and pure, and there is no sin in him and there is no evil in him. The Bible tells us that God is absolutely holy, and it also tells us that humanity is not holy. Amen. Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands and no one who seeks God, for all have turned away and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. No, not even one. And to think that a such a holy and righteous and pure God would even consider having mercy on sinful humanity is beyond my comprehension. We know Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of death. Our God is the God of great mercy. In the Old Testament, there was a specific place where God's presence would dwell. and it was called the Ark of the Covenant. It's a beautiful golden box. And when God gave Moses instructions on how to build it, the Lord was very specific and went into great detail. He gave them the exact dimensions. He told him exactly what type of materials to use. And as he was building the ark, God said, on top of the ark, I want you to build an enormous lid. And I want you to put some cherubim on top of that facing one another. And it's going to be made out of pure gold. And it's going to be called the mercy seat. Think about that. The Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God resided, on the top above everything else was the mercy seat. And it was on the mercy seat that the blood was applied to cover the sins of the people. And I like that mercy was on top of it all. In other words, mercy is above everything else to God. Ooh, I love that. Everything inside of the Ark of the Covenant was covered in what? Mercy. Think about that manna. You know, when God provided manna in the wilderness, they couldn't save it up. Because after 24 hours, it would get all moldy and worms would infest it. It was unusable. It was worthless. But when they came out of the wilderness and the manna ceased, they took a jar of manna and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant, and that same old stuff that anywhere else would have molded and rotted and become worthless, when you put it under the mercy of God, it was preserved. It did not mold. It did not rot. It did not fade away. My Jesus. You put it under the mercy of God and it'll be preserved. What else was under the mercy seat? The two stone tablets from Mount Sinai, where Moses came down from the mountain and saw people sinning, and God brought judgment because they broke those Ten Commandments, and 3,000 were killed that day. But you took those Ten Commandments and you put them under the mercy seat. The people were preserved. God doesn't want the law to exist apart from his mercy. Think about Aaron's rod that budded, that old, dead, dried up stick. When it spent 24 hours under the mercy of God, that thing that was dead, that thing that was dried up, that thing that was lifeless began to bud and blossom, and life began to be restored to it. You see, the mercy of God brings life. Mercy of God makes all the difference in the world. Aren't you thankful to be under the mercy of God? Come on, we're just like that manna. We were worthless in the world, but we are under the mercy of God. We're preserved. We were just like the law. We couldn't obey God's law outside in the world, but we've been made saints of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us, and the law doesn't have power over us anymore. Sin doesn't have power over us anymore. We're under his mercy. We're like Aaron's rod outside in the world. We were dead in our trespasses. There was no life in us, but you put us under the mercy of God. And we live and we flourish and we have new life. Aren't you thankful for his mercy? So glad that I've got the mercy of God on my life. And just as God has been merciful to us, we ought to be merciful to other people. That's where my title came from. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, have mercy. Some of y'all looked at your neighbor and said, have mercy. We ought to be merciful to one another. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told a story. I love the stories of Jesus. He would tell a story in a minute to help you understand things. Jesus said in Matthew 18:23, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date. How many of y'all know that one day God is going to bring all accounts up to date? There will be a day of reckoning when we will all stand before the Lord. The king decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. By the way, we've all borrowed something from God, haven't we? We borrow the air we're breathing right now. He brought his accounts up to date. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. millions of dollars he owed the king, and he could not pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife and his kids and everything he owned, to pay the debt. Ooh, that's tough right there. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him, and he forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, when the man went home from church that Sunday, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, and he grabbed him by the throat, and he demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor would not wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. And the king called in the man he had forgiven, and he said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Yeah. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Listen to what Jesus said. "And that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." Come on, tell somebody, have mercy. Come on, church, we've got to have mercy. Jesus said God will withhold mercy from people who withhold mercy from others. You've got to have mercy. God gives you mercy, and he gives you the responsibility to take his mercy and share it with everybody that you encounter. We are called to be people of mercy. Come on, tell somebody else, have mercy. Heard about a woman who was walking home from the grocery store one day, and she was minding her own business, but a stray dog ran up and bit her on the leg. Well, she went home, she bandaged her wounds, and really didn't think anything else of it. But several days later, she became very, very sick. She decided to go to the doctor. So the doctor examined her leg, he did some blood tests, and he told her, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but I've got some bad news for you today. I'm afraid that you've contracted rabies." And he said, "Normally we would be able to treat rabies, but you waited too long to come in, so I'm so sorry to tell you this, but you have rabies and you're going to die." She immediately reached into her purse, got a pen and paper, and began to write a list of names. The doctor put his hand on her shoulder in consolation. He said, "Is that a list of people that you want to make amends with?" She said, "No, doc, it's a list of people I'm going to go bite." Some of y'all will get that later on. Don't hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, y'all. It will come back to bite you in the end. Show mercy. You know, we don't forgive people based on what they've done. We don't forgive people based on what they have done. We forgive them based on God's love for them. Amen. We forgive people because God loves them. And he placed a high value on their life. Y'all have heard it said, the value of anything is determined by the price that somebody is willing to pay for it, right? Well, God determined the price, the value of human life when he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God established the value of every human life when Jesus died on the cross to pay the price to redeem them. So human life is the most valuable thing on planet Earth. Nothing is more valuable than human life. I want you to understand that. So the next time that you get mad at somebody, the next time you want to just go get loud in Walmart because they did something to you or cut you off in traffic or they hurt you or they offended you, remind yourself that's somebody that Jesus died to save. Mm-hmm. Y'all getting all excited now, aren't you? Come on, y'all. We got to be people of mercy. We have to remember that whether you like them or not, God loves them. Whether you care for them or not, Jesus died on the cross to save them, to give them life and freedom and healing and restoration. Come on, say, you got to have mercy. There's a group of people in the body of Christ that I call the Mercy All-Star Team. The Mercy All-Star Team, I'm talking about people who have the gift of mercy. We've been studying the motivational gifts found in Romans chapter 12, and we're at the very end of that series, and I've got that list if you guys can put that on the screen. The 7 motivational gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, leading and organizing, and right here, showing mercy. Now, I love people with the mercy gift. Mercy is not my dominant gift. But all of us as Christians have to show mercy. But people with the gift of mercy, man, they lead the way in this stuff. I watch people with the gift of mercy in their life, and I am amazed at how compassionate and how kind and how caring they are. And by the way, everybody has one of these motivational gifts. If you are a child of God, God has given you one of those 7 gifts. And why does God give us one of those gifts? The answer is found in 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards, the manifold grace of God. Why does God give you a gift? So you can use that gift to minister to other people. Do you understand what the Bible is saying? Each one has a gift. Each one ministers. That means that every one of us, we are all ministers in God's eyes. So tell your neighbor, I'm a minister. They did not believe you, so look at somebody else and tell them, I'm a minister. Amen. And a minister, by definition, must have a ministry. And we've talked about each one of these 7 gifts. The prophet, their ministry is calling out sin. The teacher, their ministry is explaining the truth. The exhorter, their ministry is helping people make forward progress in life. The server, their ministry is meeting physical needs. The giver, their ministry is meeting financial needs. The organizer, their gift is getting the job done. But the person with the gift of mercy, their ministry is dealing with the heart. They are very, very concerned with emotional needs. In fact, they're very, very in tune with people. If you have the gift of mercy, you are very in tune with somebody else's emotional state. Not only that, but you're in tune with people's motives. This is one area where the prophet and the mercy gift, they overlap. You understand, when you have a mercy gift, you can spot fake a mile away. Why? Because you're in touch with people's emotions, and you can sense genuine, and you can sense when they're putting on a front. But the people with the mercy gift are very, very in tune to people, and you have an amazing ability to put yourself in their shoes. There are so many people throughout the Bible who have the gift of mercy, but the first one that comes to mind to me is King David in the Old Testament. King David, I think it's because we recently read that in our Bible reading about how Saul tried to kill David. You thought your boss was tough. I mean, this guy took a spear and threw it at him, trying to take him out right there in the palace. I mean, can you imagine David was up there playing on the worship team? Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And a spear comes shooting at his head. Ooh, that was a tough day at work. So David fled. He ran away. Saul pursued him. Saul was chasing after him. He said, I'm going to take David out. And then Saul went into a cave to take a nap. And David snuck into the cave and saw that Saul was not being guarded. And David had his opportunity to take out the guy who was trying to kill him, y'all. That was his chance to put an end to it. And how did David respond? He got undignified. He got angry that Saul's bodyguards were not guarding him and keeping watch. Can you imagine? I can't say I would respond that way. I'd be like, yes, opportunity knocks. This is my time. No more problems. Saul is gone. I'm the king. Yay. All right. David didn't do that. He got angry because Saul wasn't being guarded and protected. See, David had a high regard for the anointed one. Saul won't doing right. He won't living right. He won't acting right. But he was still God's anointed, and David wouldn't touch him. David got angry, and he fussed out the bodyguards for not keeping watch over Saul. That's that mercy gift in action right there. Then a little bit later, when Saul's own son tried to overthrow the throne, and you thought you had family issues. His own son, Absalom, tried to overthrow the throne, and David was fleeing the city of Jerusalem, and old Shimei was standing out there on the path, and what was he doing? Throwing rocks at him. Throwing rocks at David, and throwing rocks at his guards, and throwing rocks at his entourage, and as if that wasn't bad enough, he was picking up dust and throwing it in their faces. And one of David's young guards said, I'll handle it, boss. And he gets out his sword, and he's going to take out old Shimei. And David says, leave him alone. Ooh, that's mercy, y'all. If that was some of you, you'd have out your phone. You'd be on Instagram, Facebook Live. Look at this. Shimei's going down. And I'm going to put it on the internet. Come on. You'd be sitting there cheering him on. Get him. Get him. Get him. Get him. Cut his head off. Amen. But no, David showed mercy. David showed mercy. You know how much restraint it took throwing rocks at him? They said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Whew. I'm going to be throwing rocks at y'all in the parking lot today to find out who's really saved and who's not saved. All right. Can you imagine? Throwing rocks at him. Leave him alone, y'all. He had mercy. He had mercy. Like I said, mercy is not one of my dominant gifts, but I have experienced the Holy Spirit humbling me to the place of mercy. Anybody ever experienced that with people who have wronged me, who've come against me, people who have cost me a lot of money and a lot of heartache and a lot of pain that God dealt with me? You got to forgive them and give them mercy. Right. You didn't deserve mercy. They don't deserve mercy. I gave it to you anyway. You give it to them anyway. But when you have the gift of mercy, you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I'll never forget, I was taking out the trash one day when we lived in Wilmington at an apartment there. And I had a whole truckload full. I had the most beat up, busted up Ford Ranger you have ever seen. People saw it and they would cry. Okay, I paid $400 for that and I got ripped off. All right, it was just a dumpy old truck. But I had it loaded. The bed was full of trash. We were cleaning out the apartment, throwing away stuff. And I backed up to the dumpster. And this little old lady comes shuffling down the sidewalk. And she stood there like this, watching me put trash in the dumpster. And every time I did something, she'd had a little critique. Now, you know that you probably shouldn't be putting that in the dumpster. It might not fit, right? Every little thing I did. You know, you need to back up your truck a little closer to it, but so you don't get trash on the ground. But don't you hit that dumpster. Everything I did, this woman was supervising and critiquing. And I'll be honest with you, it was hot and sweaty. I was a little hangry. That lady was getting on my nerves. I was about to do her like Shimei I did David. Like, get out of here. I was angry. I was ill. I was irritated. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is what he said. He said, she's lonely. She doesn't feel like she has any purpose in life. You're the only person she's spoken to all week long. Let her supervise you and tell her thank you. Ooh, have you ever had your tail handed to you by the Holy Spirit? Oh, man, dear Jesus. I was like, okay, God, I repent. I will be merciful. But people with the gift of mercy, you don't have to have a rude awakening like that so many times, because the Holy Spirit has pre-wired you to put yourself in the other person's position and to understand what they're going through and to feel what they feel. That's why it's such an amazing gift. And that's why you guys are the example to the rest of us. We all can learn from you, because every Christian should be merciful. Come on, y'all. We're all in the mercy business. We've all got to love people. Did you know that loving people is the outward proof that you're a Christian anyway? Do you know that? It's not your dress code. It's not wearing Christian t-shirts and having Jesus bumper stickers and GC bumper stickers on the back of your car. No, how do people know you're a child of God? Because you love people. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Come on, y'all, we got to love each other. Will the musicians come? I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up this morning because I want y'all to hurry up and go out there and show mercy to everybody you find this week, all right? Come on, tell your neighbor, show mercy. Tell somebody else, have mercy. There are three things that God requires of all people. And I call them God's big three. And they're found in the book of Micah. This is what the Bible says, Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's God's top three things. Three things that he requires. The Bible says he requires that of us. To do us right. To walk humbly before the Lord. And right there in the middle of it all, God says to love mercy. Oh, a lot of people do us right. A lot of people walk humbly with God. But if you don't love mercy, you're missing the point of it all. Amen. God requires of us to love mercy. Not just to give mercy. Not just to tolerate mercy. Not just to show mercy, but to love it. Amen. To cherish mercy. To value mercy. To put mercy on in high esteem. Amen. To love mercy. Robert Schuller tells a story about a lady named Bernice Shug. He met Bernice when she was out of work and she was trying to get back on her feet. So what did they do? They hired her as their personal housekeeper. And she was a warm and friendly woman. She showered the Schullers with love and she was all the time making them poppy seed rolls. I like Bernice already. Bring it on. She showered them with love and affection and gratitude. But nobody knew of the hidden hurt deep within her heart. One day she came to Pastor Schuller and she said, Pastor, I was reading the bulletin and I noticed that you're having a guest speaker next Sunday who is a kamikaze pilot. Schuller said, yes. And he told Bernice that this particular pilot had a tremendous testimony of how he found Jesus. And she looked back with him and with concern and she said, well, that may be true. But my son was killed in World War II by a kamikaze pilot, and I just don't think I could handle it. Schuller understood, and he told her, he said, you know, if you want to stay home this Sunday, I think that would be okay. Schuller writes that next Sunday, the Japanese pilot shared his story, and his love and his gratitude for Jesus was shining all over his face. You could feel the love and the hope that he had found. Many people were moved by his testimony, and many came to Christ. But when the service was over, I walked with him back down the aisle to the rear of the church, and suddenly as we approached the last pew, an older woman stepped out directly in our path. She stood firmly in front of the Kasakami pilot, and she blocked his exit. She looked him squarely in the eye and said, Sir, my son was killed by a kamikaze pilot. See, it was Bernice. Everybody held their breath as she continued. And I've seen how God has forgiven you your sins. And tonight, for the first time in 40 years, I've allowed him to forgive mine. Will you forgive my hatred for your people? With tears in his eyes, the former Japanese pilot said, will you forgive me for what my people did to you? She threw her arms around this little Japanese man and they stood there holding each other, both crying and crying. And tears of sorrow became tears of joy. Listen, that kind of mercy would be impossible apart from Jesus. But with God, nothing is impossible because He is the God of infinite mercy. And it doesn't matter how bad someone has wronged you. If you trust God, He will give you all the mercy you need to forgive them and to be free of that bitterness and that pain. And just like Bernice Shuck found out on that Sunday night, when you love with mercy, you find healing. Amen. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Will you bow your heads and pray for a moment this morning? Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your presence here today. Lord, I thank You for dealing with our hearts. Lord, we acknowledge before You in Your presence today that You have called us to be people of mercy. And Lord, yet time and time again, we have failed to show mercy, and we failed to love mercy. We failed to be people of forgiveness. And God, have mercy again on us this morning and forgive us today, God. Lord, as we forgive those who have wronged us, God, as we let go of the bitterness and the pain, God, as we choose forgiveness, as we choose mercy, so we can find healing and restoration. Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to walk in love. Help us to remember, Lord, that You would never ask us to show any more mercy to anybody else than You have already showed us. And Lord, in view of Your mercy, in light of Your mercy, may we be people of love and mercy every day. And I thank You for those in the body of Christ who have the gift of mercy. Lord, I thank You that You've put them there as an example to the rest of us. Help us, Lord, to put ourselves in their shoes. Help us to feel what other people feel, to be moved with compassion in the same way that Jesus was moved with compassion for people. Help us, Lord, to be moved by the needs of others. Help us, Lord, to show the same incredible mercy that You've shown us. In Jesus' name. My message today is that you must show mercy. But the reality is that you cannot give what you don't first have. If you haven't experienced the mercy and the forgiveness that comes from Jesus, you can experience that yourself today. God loves you. He cares about you. And He's full of mercy and compassion, ready to forgive you and to set you free. Bible says in Romans 5:8 of the incredible love of God, it says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much God loves you. We, in our limited love as human beings, we tend to love people when they're at their best, but God loved you at your very worst. That's how much God loves you. When you are at your very worst, Jesus died on the cross to save you, to pay the price for your sins, to set you free. Salvation is not something that you earn. The Bible calls it the gift of God. You don't earn a gift, right? You receive it. Receive Jesus this morning. Salvation is not complicated. It's actually very simple. Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If you're here this morning, if you've not trusted in Jesus, don't leave here this morning without making the decision. I will trust Him. I will follow Him. I will believe in Him. I will receive His mercy and His forgiveness. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith this morning. I want to ask everybody here today, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, I believe in You. I receive Your mercy. I receive Your love. I receive Your forgiveness. And Jesus, with Your help, I'll follow You the rest of my life. Amen. You prayed that prayer a minute with all your heart. It's the greatest decision of your lifetime. And listen to this promise of God to all who believe, Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us to live together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved.
Hallelujah.
Will you stand and celebrate for just a moment today?